This morning I want to tell you a story. It's a story of beauty and romance, of mystery, perhaps of murder, of toy makers and a drowning child. And most importantly, it's a story of death. It is not the story you came this morning expecting to hear. But it's connected to that story. I promise. In 1880, the body of a young woman, no older than her early 20s, was pulled from the River Seine in Paris. She might have been murdered, but there were no signs of struggle or other markings on her body. And so it was assumed that she jumped from a bridge. Somehow the rumor arose that her lover had left her, and in her despondency, she had committed suicide. Oddly, though, neither did her body show the telltale signs of drowning. She was not bloated nor discolored. So perhaps her lover killed her after all, by some undetectable means, and then dumped her body in the river. Either way, the young woman was taken to the city morgue behind Notre Dame. Because her identity was unknown, the morgue followed the practice of the day and set her in the front window so that passersby could see her in hopes she would be recognized and her body claimed. I know what you're thinking, that sounds macabre. But since we're a culture obsessed with television shows like Crime Scene Investigators, maybe we really shouldn't cast stones. Here's the thing. The young woman was beautiful, and she caused a sensation. Crowds gathered outside the morgue to see her, wondering who she might be and how she died, and wishing that there were some way to bring her back to life and hear her story. Soon, an enterprising young mortician recognized that the woman, who almost immediately was called L'Inconnue de la Seine, the unknown woman of the Seine, was marketable. At the turn of the century, fashionable Europeans adorned their parlor walls with replica plaster death masks of famous people, artists and composers and statesmen. So the mortician sent for a local mask maker to come and cast a death mask of L'Inconnue. Soon, the half-smiling visage of that unknown beauty was everywhere. Hundreds of replica masks were made. The woman's story spread across the continent, and she hung on walls next to Mozart and Napoleon and Abraham Lincoln. Over the years, poets and bards, ranging from Rilke to Nabokov, found themselves transfixed when they were first exposed to the face of L'Inconnue. They wrote about her yearningly, wishing that she could open her eyes and breathe life. Some 70 years later, an Austrian toy maker's little boy almost drowned in the ocean. And in consequence, the toy maker teamed up with a physician named Peter Safer, who had recently invented the technique for CPR. Dr. Safer wanted to be able to teach chest compressions and mouth-to-mouth resuscitation widely, but in order to do so, he needed a training mannequin that he could mass-produce. The very thought of providing mouth-to-mouth resuscitation upon strangers was off-putting to most people. And Safer understood that the mannequin must overcome that stigma by being attractive and even enticing to those being trained. Safer went to the toy maker for help with the design. But there was no conundrum for the toy maker. He immediately knew who would be the mannequin's face. You see, that toy maker, like so many others over the years, had been stopped in his tracks the first time he'd gazed upon the placid, beautiful death mask of the unknown woman of the Seine. He took that mask and he used it as the mold for the mannequin's face. In 1960, the first Rissussa Annie was produced. That Rissussa Annie, and everyone made since then, has had the face of Léon Canu de la Seine, the unknown woman of the Seine. In the past 50 years, 300 million people have been trained on the Rissussa Annie doll. 300 million people have breathed into the mouth of the unknown woman of the Seine. Journalist Jad Abumrad says this: "It's like over and over and over again. Thousands and thousands of people are trying to bring this woman back to life." What an image on this Easter day. Beauty captured in youth by a mask maker's plaster, always just beyond our ability to give life. We can remember her. We can beg questions of her. We can even use her visage to preserve life where it still flickers. But we can't bring back the dead. 300 million people may try. The whole world may try. But that mysterious life lost in 1880 is gone. No human striving can bring the dead to life. Death is death. The dead are dead. That's the promise, sure and certain, of which we were reminded last Friday when Jesus was nailed to the cross, when the soldiers pierced his side to make sure he was dead. It's even the promise with which this day began when still in darkness. The two Marys and Salome went to that tomb to anoint a corpse. They had believed in Jesus, but this morning they just believed in death. "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" they asked. A dead man certainly can't roll the stone from the inside of his own crypt. And yet when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. And the young man sitting in the tomb says to them, "He's not here. He's been raised." No human striving can bring the dead to life. That's true. But on Easter Day, God acts where humanity is impotent to act. In another story of mystery and murder, in another life of beauty and love that captivates hundreds of millions, the death mask is not the final word. Where humanity fails to resuscitate, God resurrects. In Jesus, death is not death. The dead is not dead. When the women enter the tomb, Jesus is not only alive, but he's gone on ahead of them, ready to meet them in Galilee. In the other Gospels, this news is met with wonder and joy, but this year we read Mark. And Mark ends by saying, "So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. That seems to us a weird ending. From the comfort of 21st century pews, we wonder about the women's reaction. But then again, lest we forget, we take some comfort in the certainty of death. Death is ultimately a bookend to life. The one thing, besides taxes, as the old joke goes, the one thing we can count on. Now, though, brothers and sisters, as of this day, we can't count on it. Now, beyond death, Jesus is out there calling for us to follow Him, not only today and not only next year, but forever. We are called out of this life and through death and into resurrection. It's a little scary to be given something so radically new. But that's the new promise. More certain and sure even than death. It's the surprise ending to the mystery. It's the resolution to the love affair. It's the wow moment at the end of the story. God breathes life into us, and His breath is resurrection. Jesus is not dead. He is risen, and He calls us forward to shatter our death masks and to live. Amen.